been since December. I don't know if you remember, but I'm dealing with the subject of biblical church structure, how we build the church. And I'm just going to start with an exhortation right here that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse, I believe it's 10. It's talking about the church. It's talking about the foundation which is laid. And it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, "According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." And what I'm emphasizing here is, you take heed how you build on the church. You take heed how you build on the foundation that was laid by the apostles, and especially the apostle Paul. Now, Paul calls himself a wise master builder. You could easily think maybe that's just talking about the church in Corinth, but I think you can also apply it to the entire church, especially in the sense of Gentile church, which was not anything that the apostles, the Jewish apostles, really had an inkling of how to deal with. As you see, they had some real struggles in the very first part of the church trying to deal with how they dealt with Gentiles. A whole lot of them were trying to turn Gentiles into Jews at the start, and before they would accept them as full members of the church. And even the apostles, even some of the 12, Peter and others, were confused by this. And it took someone like Paul, that God had specifically called out as an apostle to the Gentiles, to get some things clear on that. And then he calls himself a wise master builder. And I really do believe that has more importance than just his role in the church at Corinth. I think it is a clue for us to realize that we need to build our church according to the principles that Paul lays out in his epistles, and not get confused by Old Testament things and even by things that were offered to the Jews before the Gentiles were called in. That includes the things that were taught in the Gospels and in the book of Acts before the Gentiles, because there was that big confusion and it got cleared up after Paul did his teaching. But I'm really not wanting to get into that. What I want to get into is several issues that we have seen as trying to build a church, taking heed how we build, making sure we build it according to the plan that God set up. And how about just paying attention to what he said and doing it the way he said? Now, I know some of you are going to say, oh, that doesn't really matter. Come on now. It doesn't really matter. Well, I'm going to deal with the name of Jesus now. And I dealt with designated offerings last time I taught. That was in the month of December. Designated offerings being the biblical way of doing your offerings. And a lot of churches don't follow that. In fact, what's most common nowadays is the concept of storehouse tithing, where Christians are expected to give 10% of their income to the church organization, and then the church organization decides what to do with that. And that has had the result of turning the church into a huge business. And it's also corrupted a tremendous number of ministers in the fact that they seek after the money, and they try to get the money, and it's because that's the foundation of their ministry. That's how they have success. That's how they go forward, because the more money comes in, the more stuff they can do with it. And it never crossed a lot of people's minds that that's not how the Bible ever taught it. And storehouse tithing is never taught in the New Testament. That's what we taught in December. Maybe a little bit out of order, but today I'm going to start with this concept of meeting in the name of Jesus. Hey, meeting in the name of Jesus. Why would we do that? What does it mean? I'm going to tell you what it means. I'm going to try. Remember, you know, you're the judge. You have to make your own decision. Every single one of us is responsible to God to obey the scriptures according to your own conscience. We do not follow a certain creed set up by some men up in New York or in Rome or somewhere else. We're following the scriptures. That's what we're trying to do. And we don't allow anybody to correct the scriptures. We're just not going to allow somebody to come in and say, well, what the Bible really says is, well, because that takes away the authority from everybody's conscience and puts once again our sights on a priest class of people who know more than we do and can tell us what the Bible really says. You be careful from that. Do not ever allow anybody to correct the standard old Bible. And the reason why is because you are responsible to obey God directly. So when I stand up here and tell you, I'm not telling you what we believe. I'm telling you what I see. What was taught to me, yes, I saw it, but I saw it myself in the Bible, myself, and I realize it, and now I try to convince you of it. If you disagree, that's fine. You don't have to get mad at me. You don't have to call me a heretic. You don't have to storm off and, it's okay. You can disagree with me. But I believe if you'll look at it, you'll see it's right. It's correct because it's based on what the Bible says. Now, if I tell you we need to meet in the name of Jesus, I want to talk to you about what it means. I want to talk to you about what it's not. For example, it's not denominationalism, is it? Let me tell you something else. It's not non-denominationalism. I'm going to tell you what it's not. There's a bunch of other things it's not. I'm going to tell you why it matters. And it does matter. Maybe it doesn't matter to you. But it matters to him. And maybe it matters to somebody else. And I'm going to tell you how it's done. And I'm going to tell you what it secures for you. Includes a bunch of things. All right. Today I just want to deal with the issue of gathering in his name, what it means. Because he did tell us to do that. Go back one page in 1 Corinthians. We were in chapter 3, dealing with the idea of building the church appropriately. Doing the church the way God intended for us to do. Very few churches really go to a lot of trouble to follow the scriptural example exactly. There's just too much tradition involved. There's an awful lot of things. Multiple pastorship, that's in the Bible. Multiple elders in the Bible. Very few churches will do that. Meeting in the name of Jesus, very few churches consider that to be a priority. And I'm thinking, well, maybe, does it really matter? What does it even mean? Someone will say, what does it even mean? Well, let's find out. If you go back to the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, I'm going to start reading in verse 10. And I'm going to read extensively because this is what it's talking about. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, that's Peter, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize. Pay attention to that, folks. In fact, memorize that verse. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto you, made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Notice several times in there it says things like that no man would boast in God's presence. God has something against you being a big shot in front of him. In fact, he probably has something against you boasting around other people too. He resists the proud, the Bible says. Look at this entire context of what he's talking about. He says, you guys are dividing up, calling yourselves after other people. And then he asks you, is Christ divided? Now that's denominationalism explained in the Bible. That's the idea we're following certain people. Denominationalism happens to be the idea of naming ourselves after some description of ourselves that is peculiar to us so that we can define ourselves in separation from you. So we say, we are Lutheran. Why? Because, well, we believe the things that Luther taught. Or we are Methodists because we do things a certain way. We pray at a certain time and we do certain things a certain way. Well, that's all right. I get it. I understand. You don't want to be ashamed of what you believe. But what does the Bible tell you? Doesn't it tell you very clearly, don't be that way? Doesn't it say here, he says, it's been declared to me, this is really a problem, that there's divisions among you. It's been declared, some of you say I'm of Paul, some of you say I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Cephas. I was baptized by Cephas, I was baptized by Paul, or I wasn't baptized by one of these lowly people here in the church, I was baptized by the very, and I guess that was a way of them taking a little bit of the glory for themselves. And so, Paul is trying to say here, hey, you need to stop that. You just need to stop that. Now, what do we find nowadays among Christians? And I'm talking about real Christians. I don't want to just include everybody who calls themselves a Christian in this, because we all know not everybody who says they're a Christian has any concept of what it means to be a Christian. But to be a Christian, to really know Jesus Christ as a Savior, to have followed the Scriptures and accepted Him as a Savior and belong to Him and be born again and baptized and following Him and being part of a church and doing what you're supposed to do as a Christian, there's lots of people out there like that that don't come to our church and are divided from us for one reason or another. That doesn't seem correct according to what it says right here. He says not to do that. Why? Was Paul crucified for you? Was Luther crucified for you? Was John Wesley crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? What name were you baptized in? The name of Jesus. In the Bible, everyone got baptized in the name of Jesus. Every single time. Not one time did they get baptized in any other name. And what does that mean? That you're beholden only to one name. And why does that matter? Because it matters to him, seems to me. All right, so we're just going to deal with the idea, first of all, what does it mean to meet or to be called after his name? That name be our name. Meet, you'll notice that in our sign out in front it says, 602 Oak Knoll is the property of the Lord Jesus Christ, and meetings are held here in His name, and then gives the hours. Now, that was just a long, drawn-out way of trying to say, hey, we're not meeting in any other name. We're not lifting up any other name. This is the name we're wanting to meet under. This is the name we want to be called by. And I realize that's a little bit of a problem, because that's a mouthful. Have you ever tried to write that on your check? It's a little bit of a problem. And some people will say, well, what is that? Why do you do it that way? What's the deal? What group are you with? Who are you? Well, we're Christians. Well, yeah, but what kind of Christians? Well, there's only one kind of Christian. It's the ones that belong to Jesus. But you say, no, but we've got differences. And some of those differences are really important. I mean, some of these Christians wear lipstick. Yeah. Some of them have long hair. Hey, you can start naming all kinds of things. Some of them don't pray in the morning. They pray at night. What was the deal about the anti-peg and the peg Baptists? You know, they divided up and then they had a group, people following out because they had people who wanted pegs in the back of the church and people who didn't want. Really? Really? There's a problem here. All right. What does it mean? First of all, look at verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why did he say that? I beseech you by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Talk it. Say it. That's what it means. It's by his authority. I'm telling you this according to the authority of Jesus Christ. I have it directly from him. This is his will. This is what we know. So I do it in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm calling on you to do something by his name. I'm saying I'm speaking for him. This is his will. It's his authority. Now that's what it means. So what does it mean to meet in his name? When we say we meet in his name, we're saying he has the authority. We're doing it according to his authority, according to his name, meaning we are meeting according to him. He's the one who runs things. Now, isn't it possible for someone to technically meet in his name and yet not letting him run things? So really, technically meeting in his name is not enough. I mean, if we put his name on our sign out front, we're sort of meeting in his name. But then what if we don't do things the way he wants? What if if the authority has nothing to do? What if he doesn't have authority? What if we don't let him lead us? Well, then maybe we're undermining exactly what it means. Don't get too proud of your church because on any day we could not be doing it correctly. You see, I guess it's not enough to meet technically in his name. And it's not enough to meet spiritually in his name. You need to do both. The attitude matters and the technicality matters. It all matters. It matters that you do it according to his authority. What he says, what he wants done. The idea is he becomes the Lord. He becomes the chief. He becomes the true principal shepherd. Isn't that what it's about? When we say we meet in his name, we ought to be meaning more than just some technicality, making it really difficult for you to write checks. It's more than that. It has to do with his authority. I believe that's pretty clear by his authority. Look at Mark chapter 9 and verse 41. Just to give you an illustration of it. All right. Mark 9, 41. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. In my name. Gives you a cold cup of water to drink. It says here, gives you a cup of water to drink in my name. Well, look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 17. What we're doing in his name. All right, Acts chapter 4. Look at verse 17. These are the enemies of Christ speaking, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Now these are the big shots among the Jews, and they came and commanded, they didn't suggest, they commanded to them, and even under threat of prison or worse, you can no longer teach in this name. And they said, we have authority to teach in this name, and we're going to obey God rather than you. What does his name mean? It means authority. We don't need permission from anyone in the world to meet together as Christians. Maybe I'll say something here that's going to bother you, which is nothing new. Wife, you do not need permission from your husband to serve Jesus Christ. You do not need permission from your husband to go to church. In fact, you'd better not obey your husband before you obey God. Wife. Now, in everything else, you better obey your husband. That's what the Bible says. But you have to understand what it means to obey God rather than men. Now, about you, man? How about you, man? You do not have to get permission from anybody on this earth to preach the gospel. You don't need permission from the government to preach the gospel. Why? Jesus told you to preach the gospel. Now, you might be wise about this and do things carefully so that you don't get in trouble, but you don't need permission. And if they tell you you can no longer preach, well, then you have the authority to disobey that. You do have that authority. I know that this is getting me in trouble. But this is what it's talking about. What it's talking about here is authority. And we meet in His name because we stand on His authority. We come together as Christians meeting in His name saying, we have the authority of Jesus Christ to do what we do. We are not obeying some other group, some other government. We're not obeying some other concept or some creed. We are obeying Jesus Christ. That's what we mean when we say we meet in His name. Look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 12. Just to give you a clue about His name, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. Why are your sins forgiven? His name. That's the authority. It's His name that forgives you your sins. It's because you called on His name. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How do you get saved? Through His name. It's not some mysterious, mystical thing. It has to do with the authority of His name. Think about it. So when we meet in His name, we're saying it's the authority of His name that we meet under. We're claiming that as our justification. Now there are many more. Look at John chapter 14, and this I'll stop on that one. John chapter 14. Look at verse 13. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now that's very interesting. He tells you to ask in His name. This is Jesus while He's still on earth saying, you're going to be praying to God. You've been praying to the Father for many, many years. But now I'm telling you, you pray in my name. Why? Why do we pray in His name? Because that's the authority. You come to God and say, I'm asking you this in Jesus' name. And why do we say that? Because I got no leverage with God whatsoever. If you go to God and say, God, take into consideration all the good things I've done for you and hear my prayer. You don't get nothing. You got no leverage with God. Everything you have is a gift of God. Every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. Everything, every good and perfect gift comes from Him. You don't have anything. You have no leverage with God whatsoever except this one, His name. You say, it's the name of Jesus Christ. He told me to ask you this. He told me to. So when we stand in here or we sit in here and we are meeting and we meet in His name, we're doing it because He told us to. So you ask Him, did He tell us to? Well, look at Matthew chapter 18. Look at Matthew chapter 18. Look at verse 20. He says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. How about that? Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I don't know. I know that there's a lot of howevers in people's minds. Yes, but however, yes, nevertheless, but I know we're not exactly meeting in His name, but I know we're not doing it exactly like He said, but isn't this what He says? He says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. What does it mean to be gathered together in His name? I think it means in confession of Him. We are confessing Him, or we're confessing that we belong to Him. And if you meet in some other name, then you're not confessing that. Maybe I ought to, illustrate or reiterate the fact that it's an only thing. It's an only thing. Look at over there. I believe that's in John. It's when Lazarus was resurrected. Look at John chapter 12.
Do I have it down here? I don't.
Look at John chapter 12. Oh yeah, look, verse 9. Look at John chapter 12, verse 9. Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that He was there. Talking about Jesus. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom He had raised from the dead. You see any problem with that? Whole lot of people went over there to Bethany because Jesus was there. But that's not the only reason they went. They also went to see Lazarus, who had been risen from the dead. Wow. Does that matter? Does it matter that they went for more than Jesus? I think it matters. Didn't Jesus talk about those people that had seen Him divide up the loaves, and when they went over there to Him, He says, you came seeking Me, but not because you saw the miracle, not because you know who I am, not because you love Me or you want to follow Me, but because you were filled. You got something, and you had some other reason to seek Me rather than just Me. And so this is where we get into the only bit. If you're meeting in His name, it's got to be only in His name. If you're meeting under some other auspice, then you're not meeting in His name. It's an only issue. And the reason why is because if you're confessing that you belong to Him, then you're confessing that you just belong to Him. All right, I know I'm not convincing you, but I'm going to try. All right, let's look at this. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and let's just see several points that he makes right there, and then I'll take you to some others. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 1 and verse 13. He says, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? We meet in His name because if we were meeting in some other name, there would be a problem. The same exact way that if you are baptized in some other name, there's a problem. If you're baptized in some other name, there's a problem. If you have some loyalty to something else besides, then that's a problem. It's the same problem that you have when it comes to Scripture. If you say, well, I believe the Bible, but I also believe the tradition of my church, well, there's a problem there. Because sometimes those two things disagree. And when they disagree, which one are you going to go with? And if you say, well, I go with the tradition can interpret the Bible for me. Well, then, you don't believe the Bible at all. I can say the same thing about, Jehovah's Witnesses who say they believe the Bible. But their Bible is interpreted for them by a group of elders who supposedly have the Spirit of Jehovah, and they are the ones that tell us what it means. And so they can go to all of these visions and revelation and tell us what this means is, and how do we know? The only way we know is because they said so. They said so. What if they're wrong? Well, they can't be wrong. They have the Spirit of Jehovah. But we can read the Bible too. Yes, but we don't have the Spirit of Jehovah. Don't you see the problem? Some other authority? And if you are willing to meet in some other name besides the name of Jesus, you've got a problem. You've got a problem because you're meeting in a name that is not just the confession of Him alone. You're not saying, I'm a Christian. You're saying, I'm a Methodist. You're saying, I'm a Presbyterian. If you meet as a Presbyterian, what you're telling everybody is, you're a Presbyterian. And I have nothing against Presbyterians, folks. And I don't want to pretend, I don't want to seem proud and act like my church or my ministry is better than somebody else's. I happen to know that I'm a small fry. I know that I have very little influence, even with y'all. I realize everything I want to do is going to be small fries. God has not given me that kind of talent or that kind of gift or that kind of ministry so that I'm going to be a big shot. Billy Graham has nothing to fear. You understand what I'm saying? I know that. I realize what we're talking about. Well, and I realize what my limitations are. So what I'm saying here now, I'm just trying to tell you, if you meet under some other name, then you have disowned, in some sense, the name of Jesus. All right? It's the confession of belonging only to Him. Look at verses 14 and 15. Keep going right there where we're reading. He says, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. Paul says, I don't want anybody accusing me of having baptized in my name. I don't want anybody confusing who I belong to and who you belong to. His name is what's important. All right? Look at Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12. It says, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. We're declaring His name in the midst of the church. It's His name that's being declared. It's His name that we are confessing to belong to. It's His name that matters. I'm afraid, though, in many, many, many ways, people who meet as Christians are not meeting only as Christians, but as something else, and that undermines any claim that they have to be Christians. It really does. Now, I know you say, okay, you know, I realize this is your hobby horse, and I'll overlook it. We'll let you have that dogmatic stand of faith, and we'll still meet with you anyway. But we're not in agreement. We are not. We're not locked into that. We have not committed ourselves to that. And so that when something else happens, you say, it doesn't matter. I'm going to go meet in some other name. We're going to go do something some other way. And what I think is, you have a problem here. The problem that you have is you honestly are not seeing what Jesus told you to do. You're not realizing what God has told you, how He's told you to do it. And He did tell you to take heed how you do it. Take heed what you do and how you do it. You build on this foundation the way He told you to. It ought to matter. It matters to Him. All right, that's enough on the confession of Him. I really believe that is clear. You're confessing Him. You're not confessing your adherence to anything else. You're confessing your belonging to Him. Now, how about in His honor? You saw it over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Several times He mentions it. Let's just go back there and go over it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 15. Lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. Why? Because it takes away honor from Jesus Christ. And it does. If you baptize in some other name, you're taking away honor away from Jesus Christ. Come on. At least admit that. That's true. If you baptize in some other name, you're taking away honor from the name of Jesus Christ. If you meet in some other name, you're taking away the honor from the name of Jesus Christ. Probably a bad example, but my wife got married and now her last name is Kincaid. But what if she wanted her last name to be Jones? Would that honor me just as much? I don't think so. In fact, that would be an insult to me, I believe. All right. Look at verse 29. That no flesh should glory in His presence. All of this, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Are you sucking up some of God's glory? Is Martin Luther sucking up some of God's glory by having people call themselves Lutherans? And I don't know that he would be in agreement with that. I'm just saying, isn't that what's happening? It seems to me. Verse 31, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. I think we should do it in His honor. Now look at Ephesians chapter 3. Skip over a little ways to Ephesians chapter 3. Look at verse 21. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Unto Him be glory in the church. It's by Jesus Christ that God gets the glory in the church. It's by Jesus Christ. And we don't give the glory to Jesus Christ or to God through Jesus Christ if we are meeting in some other name. We're giving that glory to some other name. Not even one amen on that. That's pretty bad. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Are you doing that? Does anybody not see a problem with having a Billy Graham Evangelistic Association? A couple of you. There's no problem with that? There's no problem with lifting up your name? Well, why don't we just call this the Church of Billy? There's a problem with that. And anybody who wants to act like that's okay, hey, listen, if somebody out here thinks that I'm that wonderful, and I know none of you do, I realize that. But if somebody here thinks, hey, you guys, I want to let you know, some people think I'm that wonderful, all right? You're not the only people in the world. There are some people who think I'm that wonderful, and they would not mind me getting the glory. But what about God? Everything you do for His glory. Can you say that that's what you're doing? Can you say, I am living for His glory? When you fight and war and try to get glory one from another, vain glory and all that junk. Hey, it's happening all over the world today. Christians are vying and fighting for their own glory. That's not how it's supposed to be done. Look at Revelations chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, a couple of places in Revelation it's mentioned. Look at verse 13. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name. Look at there. Hast not denied my faith, even in those days when there were some martyrs going on. You didn't deny my name. You know what Jesus was proud of? They didn't deny His name. Wow. Look another place. Look at chapter 3 and verse 8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Wow! What a commendation by God to say, I've got this about this church. You didn't deny my name. You didn't give up on my name. Have you ever heard anybody, you see all these pastors nowadays, and they're invited to these prayer breakfasts or whatever. Have you noticed they don't pray in the name of Jesus? They don't even mention it. Why? Because it is tactless. It is offensive to pray in the name of Jesus. But are you going to tell me that that is honoring to Jesus when you won't mention His name? That's not honoring to Jesus. And if you're praying, you don't have any right to pray unless you pray in His name. What does the Bible say? Every single time you pray in His name, you ask in His name. And if you don't mention His name, you're not praying in His name. And if He tells you to meet in His name, in the congregation, rejoice in His name, lift up His name in the congregation, everything be done for His glory in the congregation, and you don't mention His name, I think there's a problem with that. It should be in His honor. What were Christians called in the Bible? Right, they were called Christians. And probably stupid idiots and stuff like that. You know, they had a lot of bad, insults that they would call these people. They hated them. But they were called Christians. And you know what Peter says over there in 1 Peter? He says, if anybody suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. You ought to think about that. All right. Look at, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And look at the last thing that we read to start off today, Paul says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Now, does that sound like denominationalism? I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. There's the only part of it. That's where he says only. That's why we say only in His name. We don't meet under any other umbrella. No other name. Why? Why no other name? Because no other name saves you. Because you're not baptized in any other name. Because no other name can you use in your prayer. You better not be praying in the name of Mary. You better not be praying in the name of any saint. You pray only in His name. And you don't forget to mention His name when you pray. Hey, mention it.
Amen.
Mention His name when you pray.
Amen.
Because He says, pray in my name. And how about mentioning His name when you meet? How about mention His name when you congregate? How about mention His name when you put together your church bylaws? How about mention His name? It's just a matter of, wow. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Where is your faith? Where is your focus? Where is your interest? Is it for your own glory? Or is it for the glory of your group? How about caring about Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ cares about? How about it being about His obedience? How about obeying what He has? How about it being about His will? Whatever He wants. So that you say, we meet in His name, and that means whatever He wants and what's best for Him. That doesn't mean we set aside all concepts of doctrine. Of course not. Of course not. And if there are divisions absolutely necessary, trust me, folks, when I get into this about what it is not non-denominationalism, and I'm not against sectarianism. I'm not against splitting the church. Some of the best things that have ever happened to the church come from splits. I'm not against sectarianism, but I am against you forgetting to give Jesus Christ His place in the church. I'm against all of us saying that it doesn't matter whether we actually mention His name or not. That it doesn't matter that the sign out front of your church doesn't say anything about Jesus Christ. Or that the way you meet does not care at all about His will. It's got to matter. It's got to matter to you. It's obedience to Him. And when I say obedience to Him, I mean to Him only. It's about Him only, His glory, His will. That's what it means to meet in His name. His glory, His will. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6. I'm going to move along because I got very little time left. Ephesians 6 and verse 6. If y'all weren't so stubborn, I'd have gone a lot faster. 6:6 says, "Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." What are we? Servants of Christ. Servants of Christ. 2 Corinthians 6:6. See if you recognize a problem here in the way you could possibly be meeting. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. "What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." What is he trying to say? You meet in my name because it has to do with me. It doesn't have to do with all that other stuff. It's not a human organization. It's not a human administration. It's not a human government. It's Jesus Christ meeting with us. That's what it's about, in obedience to Him. There are many more we could go to. One more, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. Hebrews 6, verse 10. "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward His name." What are you doing toward His name? What are you doing in order to exalt that name? What is it that you do in your life that is in order only to exalt His name? You see, because that's what it's about. All right, there's one more point that I want to make here. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and look at verse 9. Just I said verse 9. Yes, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. What does it mean to be in part of the church? You were called unto the fellowship of His Son. You are called to be a member of His body and having fellowship with Him. You ought to consider that. Look at chapter 2 and verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That is our connection. Yours and mine. He's our connection. It's not because we got a lot of business partnerships in here or because half of us are related. That's not it. That's not it. It has to do with Jesus Christ. It has to do with our connection to Him. And our fellowship is not just with each other. It's with each other, but through our fellowship with Him. We are called together to fellowship with Jesus Christ. That's what it means to meet in His name. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That's what He says. Surely it's got to matter to you. Verily, He says, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. That's truly our fellowship. Now I realize we can get together and go fishing, go bowling, I don't know what y'all do. But that's not our fellowship. Our fellowship is with Jesus Christ. That is what it means to meet in His name. And that you ought to understand that it matters. I'll go into this just a little bit more, and I'm hoping to finish it next Sunday. But this is the idea. This is the idea. Meeting in His name is not a suggestion. It's not a nice thing to do if you get a chance. It's what He told you to do. And He says, make sure you do it. You might have to give up some stuff in order to obey that. You might have to put up with me. We'll start up next week.